Hey folks, Scotty Roberts here. I don't know if you can hear that in the background. That is the daily prayers going on around noon here in Giza. We are sat at the Mövenpick Hotel, which is just a stone's throw from the Great Pyramids of Giza and the Sphinx. And I'm sat here with my cohort in crime here on Intrepid Radio, Dr. John Ward.
How you doing, guys?
And we've also got sitting with us Chris Conway. He is our resident medium, joining us here on the Exodus Reality Adventures. How you doing, Chris?
Very well, thank you, Scotty.
And we are sat poolside, as we said, although we are not lounging and dipping our toes at the moment. And you can hear the activity going on around us. That's the Muslim call to prayer for the noon hour. Midday, I guess it would be, going on in the background. I'm thinking you can hear that.
Just about.
Now, the Exodus Reality Adventure doesn't technically set off until tomorrow. We've spent the last day and now all day today just waiting for all our guests to arrive.
Well, I have.
John's been sitting. I've been working. And,
Very well answered. Very well answered, Scotty.
Well done. Good comeback.
Yes.
And so, today, what we, and while John's phone is ringing in the background, we've got all of our people running to and fro, picking up our guests and so on, we thought that we'd give you a little update about what we're doing. If you haven't heard, for the last several months, we do have the Exodus Reality Adventure, which is going right now. And we actually developed this little trip on the heels of John's and my new book, The Exodus Reality, which is subtitled Unearthing the Real Historical Moses, Identifying the Pharaohs, and Examining the Exodus from Egypt. And it was John's and my two different theories that we posited on who Moses may have been in the historical record. John is looking at me with a puzzled face.
I'm thinking of the great theory of Hapu, and I'm thinking of the mediocre footnote of Senebu.
Oh, Hapu, isn't there a chain of fast food burger joints named
no,
after him?
You wish.
Happy Hapus, Juicy Lucy.
You know, that's quite a good idea.
And I think we can do that. So we have our two theories posited in the book on Senenmut and on Hapu, and we've talked about that ad infinitum on our own show and on various radio shows and here on this show that you're listening to now. And so we won't go into the details of the book so much as we will talking about what we're going to be seeing here on the Exodus Reality Adventure, which, as I started to say, was developed on the heels of our book to really retrace the steps that John and I took last January and February of 2013 in research for this book. And we said, why don't we bring a few people along? And so we developed the tour. And it's called the Exodus Reality Adventure. And you can find it at exodusreality.com. You'll see all about the book. You'll see all about the tour and the adventure. And we are here now, February 12th through the 26th of 2014, launching the very first Exodus Reality Adventure. And for those of you who are interested, you can stay with our updates here on this show. We will also be on KGRA, our home station for Intrepid Radio. We will be giving daily updates as well. And you'll be able to see daily updates, photos, videos, maybe even some audio thrown in there over at exodusreality.com. And so you can keep up with what we're doing. And if you find yourself at all interested in seeing this great land, and seeing the antiquity here, the monuments, everything that went into our research for writing the book on the Exodus, plus everything else that goes on here historically, we are coming here again in October, October the 13th through the 25th of 2014. We have the Exodus Reality Adventure 2. We do indeed. Now, that's more the commercial side of our broadcast today. John, I'm going to turn it over to Brother John. Never was there a man that I more loved as a brother, as a friend, as a mentor. He's younger than I am, but he teaches me, and I learn from this man. And I honor him, and I'm sucking up to him right now so he doesn't throw something...
I'll leave you guys together.
Oh, that was Chris Conway, and throwing in his two cents worth. Chris, how did you know that?
Yes. I'm a medium.
He's a medium.
And I have eyes.
I always like to say of Chris, he's not just a medium, he's an extra large.
Yes. So, I don't like to boast.
Yes. And during this broadcast, we're sorry to say John has to run and take a few phone calls because we do have our people running to back and forth to the Cairo airport, picking up our guests, which will be arriving this afternoon and all day through the day and all day yesterday. And we launched the actual adventure tomorrow. And so here we are. We're sitting in Egypt. You know, there are times I feel like I'm sitting at poolside in Florida somewhere until I step out on the street, until I hear the Muslim call for prayer at noon. And everybody here, of course, speaks a different language than I do.
I'm back. I'm sorry. That was Little Mo.
Oh, that was Little Mo.
One of our little guests.
Little Mo. And Little Mo, you will know, as our producer, he is not here producing, so you're going to hear all kinds of things that we wouldn't normally do on air, because Little Mo would be wiping the pigeon grease from his fingers and cutting us out to break or ins and outs and so on. We're just, as I say, sitting relaxing.
He's actually running around Cairo International Airport as we speak, like a headless chicken.
Trying
to track down one of our guests.
yes, and if you've ever been to the airport in the United States, that's nothing. That's like a cakewalk. Going to the airport in Cairo, Egypt.
That's your second time there. Chris, what did you think of Cairo Airport when you first arrived?
I thought it was actually very, very... Considering it was so busy, I thought it was actually very slick and well-run.
You were the first one to arrive.
Yes, I was.
Now, Chris, you ain't from around these parts. You talk kind of funny. Where are you from?
I'm from a little place called... Well, I won't tell you where I'm from because you'd never have heard of it, but from Glasgow, close by.
Well, that's in Scotland, isn't it? I've heard of Scotland.
Scotland, yes. That's a place which is above England.
Isn't that the one that's going to become separate from England?
Yes, yes, yes. We are escaping like our brothers in America. We're running free.
Yes, you're running free.
With the wind in our hair.
Oh, please.
Don't tread on me.
Oh, yes. Please.
Now, Chris, we had on our show, if you remember, a few months back, and we talked a little bit about the independence issue.
Yes.
Issue. As John would say, in
yes.
Scotland, and how Scotland wants to pull out of the Union and have their own parliament, their own government.
Yes.
John, of course, is... what do you think of Scotland seeking independence, John?
Silence, I think, is golden on this one.
Yes.
All joking aside, yeah. I think it has its benefits, its cons, and pros.
Freedom!
Oh, you guys. I think you just summed it up, really. Freedom, yes. Freedom for the British from the Scottish. You can have your little country at the top of the...
Yes, but what will you do? You'll have nobody to pay your bills. It's like letting go your rich neighbour and then having to run your own house with nothing.
What happens to God Save the Queen?
Exactly.
Oh, there it is.
Yes.
We don't sing it anyway. We sing Flower of Scotland, so we'd be fine.
The Thistle.
The Thistle? No, Flower of Scotland. But
the
not.
Thistle?
Yeah.
The Flower of Scotland,
it's not really
John.
Flower, really. It's a pretty little thing.
Much like Scotland itself.
Yes, exactly.
It blooms once a year and it's pretty.
I just had to bite my tongue.
But all joking aside,
yes.
Chris, you're here now on the Exodus Reality
yes.
Adventures. You've come in a kind of, we don't use the word spiritualist,
no,
but we use the word psychic,
yeah,
mediumship.
Yeah.
What other words would you say is yeah, kind of rounds up your capacity
yeah,
here with us?
Yeah, spiritual. I think almost like spiritual advisor. Mm-hmm. It's
is that personal to Scotty?
Yes. Yes, just for Scotty.
Nobody else, just
Scotty's.
You're Scotty's personal spiritual
advisor. Yes.
And why is that, Scotty?
Because you everything you've told me has fallen flat, John. You said I see a B name in your Scotty. There's a B name in your past. No. A C name? No. A D? A D? No. Is it an F? Wait. I'm feeling an S. A T? Yes, it's a T, John. And John said, "Oh, see, I'm spot on."
Yes.
So I have gone to Chris, the
yes,
the medium from the north.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So as you can hear, ladies and gentlemen, I have to put up with Mr. Chris Conway and Mr. Scotty Roberts on this trip. So if you do feel that you could bring some more sparkle and some more joy to the trip, please go to exodusreality.com and book up on the new tour and replace these two guests so we can have a decent adventure.
Oh,
he's already seeking my replacement.
Yes, I did notice. He actually sounded like my ex-wife.
Ching.
Meow.
You take the high road and I'll take the low road.
But seriously, all joking aside, guys. Chris, what is it you think that you could actually bring to the table? Are you two whispering together?
Yes.
We're whispering.
Yes.
Because we don't have Little Mo to cut us out.
Yes.
So we're whispering direction.
Yes.
We've had lots of great conversation here.
Yes.
Well, yesterday we had great conversation.
Yes.
Manly talk, sports.
Yes.
Where we caught you ironing your shirt first thing in the morning. Can I interrupt,
gentlemen? Myself and John's beautiful fiance Maria had very proper conversation about sports. These two, I was going to say gentlemen, ladies, spoke about ironing, high heels, sequin dresses, hair color.
I must protest, we did not speak of high heels.
No, I didn't say you were speaking about you're wearing high heels. So that's what you've got to look forward to with these guys.
A proper gentleman always presses his shirt in the morning.
And is that while wearing a Mickey Mouse dressing gown?
Yeah.
It's a dressing gown. It's a bathrobe, for those of you in America.
A bathrobe.
A dressing gown. Yes, I have my black watch plaid dressing gown with Mickey Mouse. It's black watch.
It's green.
It's green. The government set.
It's green.
Oh. It's green and blue and black. It's called the Black Watch, the 42nd Royal Highlanders.
Back to the real purpose of being there, of course, is Egypt.
Yes.
not to draw you away from this.
From your ironing.
Yeah, you know. I know you'd love to give a show on ironing techniques.
Well, I will say this. Most hotels that I go to have an iron in the room and an ironing board, so you can press the rolled-up shirts that you have in your suitcase.
If you notice this, but if you open up the wardrobe, it has a bag that says laundry. And in the bag, it has a little piece of paper with tick boxes. And it says laundry, dry clean only, iron only.
Folks, this demonstrates the difference in class here. I am a common man of common means. John has servants. So who does all... John says, I haven't pressed my own shirt in years. Don't you have a man to do that? And I said, no, I don't. Then, of course, Maria, the lovely, vivacious Maria, came in with her cute little Swedish accent. Yes. And she says, but John irons his boxers.
and napkins.
And his napkins.
Can we please?
John is the only one sat here at the microphone wearing a cravat.
Yes.
So
that's because one never knows
when one must look well.
So, gentlemen,
yes,
Giza, the pyramids,
the Giza plateau.
Tomorrow morning,
the first official day of the Exodus here, reality adventure. We are heading off to Giza and the pyramids, which, by the way, you can see from our rooms. You can see from the rooftop here.
By the radio, of course.
Yes.
Meaning you when you are here.
That's the army coming over.
There's the army helicopters passing overhead, and
drowning us out completely.
Yes.
Yes, but that's all right. Oh, and the shades of the blades just flew over our heads.
John's butler.
It's his butler being flown in from Luxor. John lives in Luxor, about 500 miles south of here.
Butler's arrived with the boxer shorts.
Yes. John said, I'm all out of pressed boxers. Do have my man fly them up. So, again, class. It's all about what class you belong to. We're sat here in Giza, and tomorrow we head to the pyramids, which are, really, you could walk there in probably 10 or 15 minutes from here.
If not less.
Mm-hmm. It's right over the bridge there, and you can see it from the rooftop here, And so at Giza, of course, we see the pyramids, the Great Pyramid. Tomorrow we will be crawling
across the desert while the rest of us will be...
I'm not injured this year.
Graciously. I will be, of course, befitted with my umbrella and attire.
It's tweeds, yes.
And we will take our group across the desert, across the plateau.
Yes. And which is nice, because you can catch a taxi cab or you can catch a horse-drawn cart and ride right up to the walkway to the pyramids. Or we're going to go way out to the far side. I think, is it the south?
Yes.
We go to the south of the Giza Plateau, and you can have a nice viewing from out there, and then we will walk across the desert floor over to the pyramids, which is a wonderful walk. We did that last year, and then we walked all around the outside. And something I didn't know about the pyramids when I was here last year is all the temple complex that is around the pyramids. You see the pyramids in pictures, you see them on documentaries on TV, but you don't think about what all is there. There is so much unexcavated ground all around Giza that they've uncovered the village of the workers there. They've uncovered all the temple complexes. And when we were behind the Great Pyramid itself, there is a processional way that goes through the temple ruins there behind that. And you can look at the processional way and actually see it in the desert floor, crossing the desert into Cairo itself, down into the cities itself, miles away. We'll be here doing all of that. And we'll be seeing, of course, the Great Sphinx. And then there is the temple. And I asked John what the name of this temple was. And we really couldn't come up with the name of the temple. But what you have is the alabaster temple that's out in front of the Sphinx.
You're talking about the Sphinx Temple?
Yes, the Sphinx Temple. And it's alabaster floors, alabaster walls, and all the cuts in the stone on this are what's amazing. You go to the corners, and it's got all rounded corners on the inside. They're rounded and notched into the stone next, and you couldn't put a piece of paper between the stones. It's just a glorious piece of architecture. And so we'll be seeing all of that tomorrow. And so we'll be out on the Giza Plateau. Watch for our pictures at exodusreality.com. You can see pictures and videos that we've put up. And also, what are we seeing tomorrow? Right down in Tahrir Square.
After Tahrir Square, after the Great Pyramids, we're going to go take a drive down to downtown. And then from there, we're going to go to the old Cairo Museum, which is an amazing place. And I was showing Chris, actually, just the other night when Chris arrived, just behind the hotel here. I don't know if you've noticed this. Have you noticed all the cranes?
Yes.
That's where they're actually building right now the new Grand Museum. Now, the new Grand Museum is going to be one of the largest museums in the world. It's going to house all of the Egyptian antiquities. Whether the old museum is going to close or not, we do not know. But at this present moment, it's vast. But they've got 500. Last night we saw they've got a little sign saying how many days left to completion. It's 508 days left to completion.
No, it's a little over a year and a half.
Yeah. It's going to be an amazing place to view. It really will.
Now, the Old Cairo Museum, when you think of the Old Cairo Museum, you have to think of the archaeologists from the late 1900s into the early.
It's literally like that. I was trying to explain it to Chris.
Yeah. Sorry, not the late 1900s, the late 1800s,
the
19th century.
The museum itself should actually be in a museum. It's all glass cabinets, old wooden cabinets. It hasn't changed. You've got the handwritten receipts. It's just wonderful just to walk around it. So we're going to take at least 2 to 3 hours tomorrow. After we've been at Giza, after we've had some nice...
Which you could probably take 2 to 3 days to go through this museum.
Maria and I have spent countless days walking around that museum. Countless days. And some of the artifacts which I'll be pointing out to you tomorrow, you'll be able to actually, when we go through the rest of the tour, through the rest of the adventure, you'll be able to pinpoint those artifacts. Say, oh, right, I remember that. Yeah, that was at the museum. That's where it's come from. And that's where it's from.
Wow.
So especially one of my favorite items in the museum is the small tablets from the Serapeia, which we're going to see after we come back from Serabit al-Khadim. And they're little tiny limestone stelae with personal votives on them that were put inside the wall in little niches inside the Serapeia. Now, when we go there, as I say, to Saqqara, which is on the 16th, I believe, if I'm right.
Yes.
And you walk down into the chamber, and there you see all these little niches in the wall, hand-carved. But they're empty, because the votive stelae that were in them are now in the museum, and we'll show them all to you, and they've got all these wonderful symbols on them.
If you're on Facebook, and you go to the Facebook group, it's just facebook.com/groups/ExodusReality. Or, I'm sorry, it's Exodus Book. We actually set that group up before we had named the book. So you go to Exodus Book in the Facebook groups. You'll see some of the pictures. And there's a picture of John in the Serapeum with the one of the big sarcophagi of the Apis bull. And there's 26 or 27 of those sarcophagus in there, if I'm not mistaken. And in the wall behind him, you'll see all the niches in the wall. And this is where all the votives and the prayers and the little gods and the little idols and things would be set up in there. And that's what John is talking about. So you can go see that picture now from last year when we were at the Serapeum. And the Serapeum is just adjacent to the stepped pyramid at Saqqara. This is the stepped pyramid of it's a Dozier. How did you say his name?
Pharaoh Dozier.
Dozier.
Or Djoser.
Djoser.
D-G-S-O-R.
Right, right. Djoser. Something like that. Something like that. That's for my mom. My mom asked me, how do you say D-J-S-E-U-R?
But more importantly, if I may interject.
You may.
Can I? Thank you.
Will you?
Because Chris is very quiet here in the background.
He is.
But, we won't go into that. But more importantly about Saqqara is the grand architect, who was?
Imhotep.
And who was Imhotep put together with?
Amenhotep III.
Son of Hapu.
And son of Hapu, who is John's candidate for Moses.
Both were deified at the same time.
Oh, right.
As gods.
Yeah.
Gods. Was Senmut ever made a god?
Senmut was never made a god, but he's been written about in three major religions through all of history as Moses.
Well, that's about it, really. Then should we be wrapping up?
Oh, wait till we get down to Luxor, and we'll see more about Senmut down in Luxor. Chris.
Yes.
Now, we talked a little bit about what your role is going to be here on the trip.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? There is something that we talked about, all of us together on the phone or on Skype, months before this trip started. And we added you to the trip for the sole purpose of, as John and I were talking, we didn't want people to think that this was merely a Bible study group.
No.
Not that there's anything wrong, as Seinfeld would say, not that there's anything wrong with that. but it was not a Bible study group. This is a, even though it deals with a biblical topic,
yeah.
We want people to get an added dimension,
yes,
to what's going on here. This book was written about the history, seeking the historical Moses.
Yeah.
Seeking, is there archaeology to support either one of John's and my theories? And, of course, there's many other theories about Moses. But Chris, we thought, should come along. And Chris brought up a quote from Manetho from the 3rd century B.C., out of his histories. And it was Egypt described by Manetho as the spirit. The dynasty of gods, demigods, and spirits of the dead.
Yes.
And so we thought Chris might be a very good addition to this trip to when we go to these sites. If any of you out there listening are into the paranormal or some of the paranormal activity that's out there or paranormal investigations of your own, I know a lot of the listeners on KGRA and some of these other stations have interest in some of this.
Yes.
Chris is bringing that dimension. Now, a little bit about Chris's background is that you may, and I'm sorry, this is not his only credential, but this is one that you may recognize. Chris was with the British show, Most Haunted, which is a kind of like, it was kind of like the Ghost Hunters, the British version. I believe it came out first.
Oh, yeah, it came out a long time ago.
And no matter what you may think of the show and some of the characters on the show, we've actually had Dr. Kieran O'Keefe on this very program, the Intrepid Radio program. He was the resident psychic. Parapsychologist, skeptic, while Chris was one of the psychics. Now, Chris came in a little later in the game because there were some psychics on the show, and frankly, and I can say this here, and many people know this, there were some of the psychics on the show, at least one of them, that was really called out to be either fraudulent or making up information or things like that. Now, Chris does not necessarily go along with that because he knows these people, but this is the talk that's out there.
Yeah.
And so Chris came in a little later. He's the little Scottish young fellow that came out, and he's not so young anymore.
I was going to say young?
He was in the filming of that show.
That was, believe it or not, I wasn't. It just turned me gray. Just probably about 5 years ago is when they...
Is that when the show because I remember, right now you have a hoary head. But back then you had I described Chris as being the young, dark-haired, Scottish psychic.
Rather fit-looking. I actually thought he looked taller.
I thought he looked taller on the show, too.
Are you sitting down now, Chris, or are you standing?
This is John's very, very feeble attempt of humor. Anybody that comes on the Exodus Reality Adventure will find out that John has no humor. Apart from his cravat, which is humorous enough for everyone.
That's cutting.
John has a great sense of humor.
He does.
But he has a singular humor.
Yes.
And his humor makes him laugh. And we laugh along with him.
Don't we laugh at him, Scotty?
Oh, at times.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's...
Revenge is going to be sweet tomorrow.
It has to be difficult to be a man of such class.
Yes.
And vast knowledge amongst we feeble folk. And this is John, and he dresses well. He looks good. He drinks his coffee incessantly. Why drink water when there's coffee, he says.
Well, why dilute it?
Why dilute it?
Why ruin a good cup of coffee?
We had bottled water served to our table at breakfast this morning. John said, "What's that?" I said, "That is coffee-free liquid."
Yes.
Have some. But all joking aside, so Chris is going to be here, and in some of these monuments and temples, you've got to think, when you go into an old hotel or an old tavern or something like that in the United States or in some of these other countries, and you do paranormal investigations... Yeah. You pick up all kinds of spirits. But why don't we think that some of these monuments, some of these that are three, four, five more thousands of years old, that there would not be lingering energies there?
And I think you need to remember as well that ancient Egypt is a far more spiritual society than the West has ever been. So even if you take the word paranormal away from it, I think just the actual energies run about these different temples and pyramids, etc., I think there's going to bring a more rounded meaning, because what I'll be doing is teaching some of the guests techniques such as psychometry, where we can start to pick up the energies behind objects, but also the actual temples themselves. And it'll be interesting as the weeks go on to see if the guests themselves start to touch on some of the energies that are round about. And so it's going to be like a sort of teaching them some good techniques as we're going on. And
do you know if anybody has ever done this before, Chris, in Egypt?
No.
This is the first time anybody's really led this kind of tour where they're actually teaching the actual guests themselves techniques such as psychometry.
Yes.
And what else are you going to be teaching
them? Meditation, which I think it's the key. People always ask, how do you become more sensitive, a medium, etc.? And the basis of everything, is the core of it, is meditation. You have to be able to relax properly before you can even start to develop any other sort of gift. And what my role will be is to teach the guests how to meditate properly, and then from there start to build other techniques that we can sort of teach them. And I think that they'll enjoy it as it goes on, and I think it'll be a lot more meaningful for them.
Maybe you could teach Scotty how to relax. But then again, you can't really create miracles.
I'm not that good. Jesus.
No,
sorry.
No.
John, the we won't even go into how John handles stress.
No.
Oh my God, somebody's flight isn't here. Oh my God. Oh my God. And he paces.
John handles.
Smokes a cigarette or two or three.
For him that watches British TV, Basil Fawlty, it's probably John. Because I think John's actually based his full persona on Basil Fawlty.
I actually take that as a compliment.
Yes.
Rather than an insult.
It is a compliment.
On that note, folks, we've got to wrap up this first edition that's being recorded live here in Egypt. We are sat in Egypt. If you could be here, you would feel the warm weather for those of you in the Midwest of the United States and the East Coast. It's very warm here, which is nice. It's not hot. It did not break the mid-70s. So we have a wonderful temperatures here, wonderful blue skies. We're going to see the pyramids tomorrow, and we will report in again tomorrow.
Hopefully live from the pyramids. We will record live from the Giza Plateau ourselves.
Fantastic.
Very good.
Looking
and folks, thank you for joining. Thank you for listening to us. John and I have Intrepid Radio right on KGRA Digital Radio Network, and we also have Intrepid Magazine. We have, and you can avail yourself of that at intrepidmag.com. We also have our book, The Exodus Reality, and you can see us all of this at exodusreality.com. See you tomorrow.
Take care.
Bye, guys.